This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
There's growing consensus in Europe for a price cap on Russian oil, but not everyone is on board. Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Victoria Craig. Good morning. European Union diplomats say there's a provisional agreement among 27 member states to impose a price cap on Russian oil as punishment for the country's Ukraine invasion. Reports say the bloc is poised to approve a cap of $60 a barrel. For context, Brent crude is trading at about $87 today. The point of the price cap is to keep oil supplies flowing through global markets while also reducing Moscow's ability to finance the war. But there's one holdout. Poland's government is said to be seeking a lower cap. From the capital, Warsaw, the BBC's Adam Easton explains why.
The current market price of Russian export crude oil is below the level of the price cap that's been proposed by the European Commission. So if the actual price cap is set at a level which is higher than the current market price, then it doesn't actually have any impact on the revenues that Russia earns. So that's why Poland, as well as some of the other Baltic countries, Estonia and Lithuania, have been holding out. There's another key element here as well that Poland wants, and that is there for there to be a price cap review mechanism, so that when the market price of Russian crude oil falls below the cap, they can reduce it.
Now, there has to be consensus on this price cap before it can be approved and passed. Is there a thought that Poland and the rest of the European Union nations can come together to do that today?
Well, the idea was to get this agreed upon before Monday, which is when the European Union introduces a ban on the export of Russian crude oil to Europe via tanker. I think we're pretty close to a compromise, and I think we could get a compromise and a solution today.
The BBC's Adam Easton for us in Warsaw. Thanks so much for your time.
Okay, thanks.
Checking the numbers now, European stocks are little changed ahead of the U.S. November jobs report due out at 8:30 Eastern time. In Asia, the Shanghai Composite and Hang Seng in Hong Kong slipped 0.3%. Japan's Nikkei shed 1.6%. That's as investors anticipate China's next move on COVID protocols. Some news of a little bit of a different kind this morning. There's change afoot on this show. I'm going to leave you in suspense, though, for a moment and give you first a little reminder of all the places we've traveled together. We'll start with Afghanistan and its now former central bank governor, who told us what happened in the lead up to the Taliban's takeover last year.
I had continued my work on both Saturday and the morning of Sunday until I arrived in the airport. And between my arrival in the afternoon at the airport, the city fell by that evening.
If you want to understand the pain of rapid price increases, a supermarket is the perfect place to start. At this one in the Kadıköy neighborhood on Istanbul's Asian side, prices on various goods change almost daily.
400 gram.
Cheddar cheese, he says, is up 52% in a week. Prices have soared so much and so quickly that he and his colleagues can't even afford to buy some of the things in this store.
In a crumbling Art Deco theater in downtown Maputo, there are young musicians in various rooms of the building. These are some of the musicians linked with Jikiti, a project to set up Mozambique's first youth orchestra.
My dream is becoming a professional musician. There are many great musicians around the world. The challenge is to be on their level, even though I don't have the same opportunity to go to university here in Mozambique.
It's a scorching 40-degree day here in the heart of New Delhi. At a stall here, workers are unpacking boxes of leather bags. What's not visible to this bustling crowd is the hardship that's descended on India's domestic leather industry.
Our tanneries were established in 1902.
Never in 117 years have we seen such an assault on industry.
That's Ashif Rizwan, owner of Omra Tanning Industries in the country's leather capital of Kanpur in Uttar Pradesh state. He employs roughly 2,000 people, but with three of his units shut since December, Mr. Rizwan has had to lay off roughly three-quarters of his staff. This kitchen in East London belongs to chef and cookbook author Olia Hercules.
Thank you so much. That's
Her extended family, including her parents and brother Sasha, are all back in southern Ukraine.
Oh, sorry.
That's all right.
There you go. Oh, it's my brother.
Can oh, yeah, okay? yeah.
Alo? Woohoo! Oh, class!
He got the supplies she sent. Okay, so that's where we've been. Where are we going? Well, for starters, this show is heading to Salford in the north of England, where a brand new team will be in your ears starting on Monday morning. And I am going south to Turkey. It's a country that you'll know we've visited and covered extensively here. I'll be sinking my teeth deeper into that cost of living story and gearing up for a very high-stakes election there next summer. But before I go, a huge thank you to our team that has truly become family. So many people have played a part over the years in this program. But Sarah Hawkins, Nisha Patel, Elizabeth Hodson, and Rory Clayton have been instrumental over the last few months. And of course, to my right hand, Stephen Ryan, we have weathered a pandemic, we've covered wildfires in Greece, an election in Germany, sky-high inflation in Turkey, and our fair share of very fun assignments all around the UK. I could not have done any of it without your enthusiasm, creativity, and ability to stay so cool under immense pressure. We are sharing lots of highlights. You can find us at Victoria Craig and at Irish Journal on Twitter and Instagram today. And of course, finally, a huge thank you to you, our listeners. It has been my absolute privilege to bring the world to you each and every morning here. So, for the very last time in London, I'm Victoria Craig with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdal. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate Minority Leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? I mean, don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's the speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.